From WNYC, New York Public Radio, I'm Sarah Fischko, and these are the Fischko Files. Each week, I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, and media. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
Ready, and
the urge to choreograph dances and the process of doing it are not something choreographers talk about much.
It's very difficult to do. That's why.
The New York City Ballet's Peter Martins.
Because you can't talk about it, you have to do it.
Four before the boys. Ready? And...
For Italian choreographer Mauro Bigonzetti, words can't always do it.
I like to say I speak with the body because sometimes with the body you can say more. The body is like a big box with many different situations inside.
It's because I'm not really too sure why or where it comes from.
Choreographer Christopher Wielden.
It's just a question of having that natural ability to paint music on the stage, you know, using bodies.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Look at me, I'm talking about it. What am I saying? It's not. Maybe it isn't such a hard thing to talk about.
Maybe not. Five standout international choreographers, part of a group commissioned by the New York City Ballet's Diamond Project, despite some doubts, found it quite possible to find words for what they do.
I don't think any choreographer can do a choreography without being a dancer first.
The Russian Alexey Radmansky, artistic director of the Bolshoi Ballet, is doing a ballet with dancers on point, as they say.
Point shoes give so much more to the movement. I was trained as a classical dancer. It's in my blood.
The Diamond Project, which is named for philanthropist Irene Diamond, was developed to encourage choreographers to use classical styles and techniques in their dances. Seven choreographers, all men this year, are working furiously to finish. Ratmansky's ballet is set to a big piece by the Russian composer Desyatnikov, The Russian Seasons.
Desyatnikov's music is very moody. I try to follow the music, I think. You can work against the music. It could be very interesting and beautiful, too.
Choreographers have an unusually intimate relationship to music. They use it, every last detail and nuance of it. They occupy it.
The urge for me is entirely when I hear a piece of music. I don't have an urge without that. None. And I know Mr. Balanchine said the same thing.
Peter Martins, now ballet master-in-chief at the New York City Ballet, spent several years working with Balanchine in the 80s.
Those 6-7 years, he would hand me music all the time. It seemed like weekly, of course it wasn't, but it was certainly monthly. He'd introduce me to composers. Scarlatti, Rossini, he started easy, and then eventually he moved up to Stravinsky, and he did Mozart. So he would educate me and challenge me, and I would dutifully just do one ballet after another.
10, 2 8s, and a 4, but the 4 slows down.
Martin's current Diamond Project dance is to the music of John Corigliano, which he finds rhythmically appealing, among other things.
The first thought for me is, why should this music be danced to? Is this warranted? Is there anything I can add to this piece of music? Okay, fine, I'm going to tackle this.
Elliot Feld, founder and artistic director of the Ballet Tech Company and school, was stirred by Philip Glass's score for North Star. Where did he start?
It was a response to the music. I actually just danced to the music.
Feld, in working on the dance, found himself staring at a paradox.
One of the principal issues in the dance was to find a way to have the woman I'm choreographing it on look as though she was inventing it as she did it. so that to the extent that she made the choreographer disappear, she was fulfilling the choreography. How is it that she can dance that makes her like nobody else?
Feld is working with just one dancer. Christopher Wheeldon, in residence at the New York City Ballet, is working bigger.
I have a corps de ballet of 16 and a principal couple.
And I'd like you to bore away, and I'd like you
and
to...
And Wheeldon, using a concerto by Bartok, made the decision to have his dancers wear traditional tutus. He is making, therefore, what is known in the business as a tutu ballet.
It's something that we don't see so often these days in new choreography and new ballets. There are certain things that you can't do in a tutu that you could do if you were just in a leotard, for example. Depending on how you tilt the body, depending on how you lift the leg, wherever the body moves, then the tutu moves as well. It's been an interesting experience working with these strange-looking protrusions. The challenge, of course, is to find an interesting, exciting way to present a very sort of classical look.
So each choreographer finds his own challenge. To make his work invisible, to make classicism look new, to add something to the music, or, as in the case of Mauro Bigonzetti, who directs the Atterballetto in Italy, to expand on the musical idea. The music, in his case, is by Bruno Moretti, a piece called Invento.
The wind. The wind is something inside of the human nature. The wind, this is a passion. This ballet speaking about of the passion inside of the wind. And I ask the dancer to give out this wind around the arms, around the body. We try.
It's an arduous process to make a ballet that looks polished and also spontaneous. Bigonzetti is almost finished.
If I think it 1 month ago, the ballet was like in the sky, you know, was really abstract. Now, when I see the steps, when I see the choreography, with the music, with the new music, I feel it's a little miracle.
It's really like inventing language. You start with some basic information that is intuitive, and then you try to build a grammar and a syntax.
It's a language that is using and extending classical traditions.
Otherwise, just do Swan Lake and let's be done with it all.
These five, and Jean-Pierre Bonfou of France, and Jorma Ilo of Finland as well, are all popping the corks of their new ballets in the coming weeks here in New York.
I think I've found a language. I really do.
To hear them talk is good.
At least I've felt that today. I may feel differently tomorrow.
But ballets do have to be seen.
I think the strong side of choreography and the ballet is that it can express something that is beyond the words.
This we know.
And there are many, many things in this world that you can't put in words.
Thank goodness for that. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko. Thanks for listening to The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.